So are you all ready? Are you ready? Because the holidays are coming at us now, aren't they? Anybody besides me ever experience holidays, D-A-Z-E? Yeah, it can happen. How many of you would like to have more holidays? That's interesting. I didn't know whether I'd see a couple hands back here. Okay, good. Yeah. More holidays. Woohoo! Well, I think people like holidays, at least. How many of you like paid holidays? Okay, there you go. Is that a hint, Marlene? Yeah. But when we think of holidays, I've talked about this a few times over the years. I've been here, you know, quite a while. What do you think the idea behind the word holiday originally was? Anybody know? Holy day. And the word holy, sometimes we have pictures of it, but the literal meaning of holy is to set apart. Set apart. So it's a day that's set apart for commemoration or something. Do you know that today is a special day? You didn't? You're all looking at me like, what? Well, it is. It's the day that the Lord hath made, so that's always true. But today is World Stroke Day. Woohoo! Yeah! World Stroke Day. Yeah, it's World Stroke Day. No, stroke. Stroke. Yeah, we're you know, for people who have been through. It's World Stroke Day. That's a holiday. Wow, that's weird. Yeah, well, it's not the only thing weird about today. Today is also National Oatmeal Day. And it's also National Hermit Day. I would tell the hermits about it, but they're not here. And it's also National Cat Day. That sounds perfect to me. I'm going to go home and pet the kitties. Look at your neighbor and go, meow. Wow. Does it get any weirder? How many of you ladies knew that yesterday, among other things actually, was National Chocolate Day? What? Nobody told you? You're so mad now, it's over. Wow. If you haven't figured it out, yeah, I got people mad now. Pouting, they miss National Chocolate Day. If you haven't figured it out, there's something on every day of the year now. There really is. It's gotten kind of nuts. And some people want some kind of recognition on every single day. And I even saw some information that people are saying we have too many holidays. And I'm pretty sure that is what actually is making us all overweight. Because, you know, you got a holiday, and then you got another holiday, and then you got another holiday, and you no more get over that holiday. And, you know, I gained a couple pounds this weekend because I went to an event in Michigan. I told some of you about that earlier, and they had food, and they had really good food. They had lots of food. I sat down next to a guy, and he goes, oh, try my wife's chili. It's really good. And I'm like, I love chili. This is going to be great. So I went up, there were three different things of chili. And the ladle in the one that I picked out was exactly the size of the bowl. It was one of those huge ones. Okay, well, that's I get that chili. That's the one I'm going to get. And it turned out not to be the one that was his wife's, but it was really good. I didn't have to fill the whole ladle. Well, but I did. And then I found myself grabbing other things. And then when I sat down at the table, I was like, why did you grab this much food? Followed by yesterday, we went to see some family and ended up with pizza. So, yeah, I was like walking out at the end of the day, just like, oh my goodness, too much. When we say holiday, we tend to, in our culture, think of fun, something special, something, you know, a good day, maybe family gatherings and all the good stuff that goes with it. And that's wonderful. And I want to enjoy holidays, but if we turn around and we say, holy day, and we think of a holy day, for a lot of people, I would say maybe the first thing that comes to their mind is not feasting, it's fasting. You know, or something that restricts you from something. Something you don't get to have. A holy day is a day that's set apart where you don't get stuff. Actually, holy days in the Bible are connected to the idea of holiness. And when we think of holiness, picturing fun stuff and holiness probably don't come together, do they? When I say holiness, you're not going, oh, good, let's have some holiness. This will be great. I can't wait to do some holiness right now. It's not pictured that way. Biblically, by the way, there was some fasting in some holy days, but there was a whole lot of feasting in holy days in the Bible. So really, the truth of the matter is this idea that holy days not being as fun as holidays, it's really not biblical. Wow. There was more rejoicing on holy days than there was gloom, despair, and agony on me. So maybe we need to adjust our idea of what holiness really is. And so today, I'm a holiness preacher. Hallelujah. Ha! And when I say I'm going to preach on holiness, how many of you are like, woohoo, yay, holiness, can't wait. Let's hear something about holiness. It's, again, we've got this culture that's affected us, don't we? Okay. I don't know where you guys are, by the way, with that term. There are certain groups of people who fall under the term holiness. And in my part of the country where I grew up, Pentecostal holiness was some of the strictest, most sour, most unhappy people I'd ever seen. Honestly, they were dour. So, how about you? When I started talking about holiness, do you know some holiness people? Do you have a picture in your mind of holiness and what that looks like? Okay, just keep that in mind. Then I can maybe change your mind a little bit. Because I think it's possible that our idea of holiness and God's idea of holiness are not in line with each other. What if I told you that God calls you to holiness, God calls us to holiness for our sakes, not for heaven's sake. He didn't do it for heaven's sake. He did it for our sake. And I hope to show that to us. See, heaven's day doesn't get better when you live a holy life, but your day does. Let me say that again. Heaven's day doesn't get better when I live a holy life, but my day gets better when I live a holy life. Some years back, an Oxford anthropologist whose name is J.D. Unwin did a study of 86 societies. And the evidence in those studies showed, for example, here's one, that sex outside of marriage leads to intellectual, economic, and societal decay that undermines a culture and leads to its demise. What? Yeah. The bottom line is, when a society practiced moral restraint, it prospered. And when it didn't, it disintegrated. Imagine that. The God who created us tells us how to best live our lives for our benefit. Why would he do that? That's not entertaining. I want to watch these idiots do stupid stuff. I just want to be a god up in heaven and watch all these people scrambling around and trying to please me, and most of them aren't going to anyway, to hell with you. That's the picture sometimes that we get if we don't understand what God's really up to and the holiness that he tries to lead us into. Holiness isn't just making God's demand, or isn't just God making demands of us to see who will jump through his hoops. It's God directing us so that our lives, as I've said, will be better. And again, the idea behind holiness is to be set apart. So when we are set apart, it's not about what we're being kept from as much as what we're being kept for. It's not what we're being kept from, it's what we're being kept for. I was awakened a couple of weeks ago. I was laying there in the middle of the night, and this thought just, boom, popped into my head. And I think I posted it. Can't remember the date that I posted it. But here's what I wrote down. If it's not what God wanted, it's not what you wanted. That hasn't always been clear in my thinking all my life. But if it's not what God wanted for me, then I certainly need to know that it's not what I want for me. Why? Because the Creator knows how I was made, and he knows what he made me for, and he knows what he made for me. And sometimes I think I want something that God doesn't want. Even if I don't know it yet, sometimes I need to recognize God's up to something. Think about it. If God is my loving Father and he only wants me to have good things, then how could I possibly want what he doesn't want? And conversely, if God does want it for me, then I want it for me. Maybe I don't know it, but I've been waiting for it. I've been yearning for it, even though I don't understand it. You know, I've been keeping track for a long time now. I got saved at age 14, and I'm 66, so I got 52 years of serving God. And I've been kind of a nutcase about how I've served God for 52 years. I'm kind of an all-in guy, an all-or-nothing guy. And when I start to slide a little bit away from those things, I just find myself being drawn back. And I know there were a lot of times that I was not happy with what God was doing, and I thought I wanted something that God didn't want for me. But God's ideas for me are always better than my ideas for me. I've had some moments when I think I was this close, I know I was this close, to something stupid that would have derailed everything that God wanted to do in my life. And he got me by. I've told this story, but there was a young woman that I was dating. And one night when I knocked on the door, she came to the door and she was not dressed properly. And she wrapped herself around me and I just, wow, as she gave me this big kiss. And I was like, wow, because I'm just a normal, at that point, 19-year-old guy. You know, I'm a normal guy. Wow. And I had to peel her off of me, stand her right here and look at her and say, I need you to go put on more stuff or I'm going to do something stupid. And she goes, and she had this excuse that she thought I was about to leave, which I was, by the way. I knocked on the door and she didn't come to the door, so I was about to get in my car. And she said she woke up from a nap and just ran down to get me at the door. But still, and then 6 months later, after she'd broken up with me shortly after that, I saw her, and she was out to here. And she had been to some kind of party or something from what I've gathered. I really don't know the details. And I think she figured out that that nice Christian guy was going to be a whole lot better than that guy that did whatever whenever. And I'm not saying this to brag because I don't know how I managed to stop myself. It was only because I'd been praying like crazy, God, just help me to wait for the girl you've got for me. And somehow he helped me that day because I don't think I would have helped me. And at the moment, I might have thought, this is what I want. How many of you know that was not what I wanted? All that went with that was not what I wanted. Wow. By the way, if you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about, because everybody who's got kids has had a kid sometime or another who wanted something that you knew they didn't want. Right? They wanted something and they wanted it right. My kids, I gave it to them a couple of times. I thought, okay, you're going to find out. But I've had it happen with my kids. So you know. So I want to look back at a couple of verses that we just looked back at. We were just looking at these verses about 4 weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to move along pretty quickly. Some of you are snapped on your phones, and you've got it already. That's really amazing. 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at two verses in 1 Corinthians, and the first one is in chapter 6, and just one verse, verse 12. And you ought to memorize these verses, even if you don't memorize the location. But everybody say 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. That'll help it stay in your memory, maybe. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I have a friend, actually a relative, who posts fun stuff on Facebook, and one of the things that she loves to post the most is how much she loves coffee. She loves coffee. She is addicted to coffee. She says she's addicted to coffee. She says, you don't want to talk to me until I've had my coffee in the morning. How many of you know people like that? How many people, I'm not going to ask, I was going to say, are people like that? I get it, it's okay. So, she means to be funny, and she is funny, by the way, and she freely admits that she's, you know, under the influence of coffee. So if God came to someone who was under the influence of coffee and said to them, I want you to give up coffee, if God came to you and asked you to give up something like coffee, could you do it? Would you do it? Well, God's not going to do that because he loves me. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Some of you have given up alcohol because it was obviously an issue for you. It brought you under its power. I will not be brought under the power of any, our verse says. I personally had to cut back on pop. And I've gotten to the point now where I drink a lot of unsweet tea. My wife finally won me over to that. She drinks unsweet tea. And I drink a lot of water with lemon at restaurants, and I try to avoid pop. The caffeine in the pop's not great for me. And you may have heard me talk about this, but if you have caffeine at 6 o'clock in the morning, it still has a half-life by midnight, and it will affect your sleep cycle. So I've tried to avoid caffeine. So I do decaffeinated teas. And I'm just making you miserable because nothing that I'm going to tell you is going to, oh, man. But anyway, I was having trouble with my vocal cords. And I would get up, and I don't know whether any of you ever noticed it, but I would have times when I would be coughing, couldn't stop coughing because it was drying my throat out. And I just had to cut way back. And if you will, that's a little bit of holiness right there. Not because I was obeying God, I'm holier than you because I don't drink coffee. No, I was being saved from losing something that I wanted, which is my singing voice and my speaking voice. It's, I don't know, kind of useful to me, maybe a little. There are a lot of things that can take us under their power, and when they do, they take the place of something else that maybe is more important. And above all things, we need to be careful because we want to be under the power of the Holy Spirit more than anything. So sometimes Holy Spirit will tell us this is getting in the way. Even though it might not be getting in somebody else's way, it might be getting in my way. And so then he's like, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, you need to adjust that a little bit or you're going to miss out on something. 1 Corinthians 10:23 is the other verse. It feels like the exact same verse almost, except for the last line of the verse. Everybody say 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Same as the other one. All things are lawful for me, same as the other one, but not all things edify. God wants things in our lives that build us up. Edify, edifice, a building. It builds us up. We talked about that a little bit in the context of being addicted to God in a couple of messages a few weeks ago. If the things that God wants for us are the edifying things, then that means God's trying to build us up. He's trying to make our lives better. He's trying to lead us to something greater. This is a good thing. Holiness is this really good thing. Holiness, where we start to set ourselves apart from things that aren't going to edify us, and we start to find the things that do edify us. Holiness is like, I love holiness because holiness loves me. You know, we are experiencing his grace, and I talked about that a few weeks ago too, how all of our sins are already forgiven. He died on the cross for all of our sins. Everything that we've missed the mark with, it's called grace. I'm not even sure that some people, the way they say this, let me see if I can find the right words for this. It's like, your sin separates you from God. Well, when you're in the middle of your sin, you're usually not looking to God. So yes, in a sense, that's true. But you know, we can come boldly to the throne of grace for help in our time of need. So it's like, when we say it that way, it's almost like God's like, don't come near me until you clean yourself up. How many of you know that's not going to happen? You're never going to clean up your mess. He's got to clean it up. He's the one full of grace. So what I was thinking was, it's not so much that sin separates us from God, because even after we do stupid stuff, we can get back to God. But we still need to realize that our sin also separates us from what is God's best for us. Sin separates me from something that I really wanted. I maybe didn't know I really wanted it, because at the time I was like, I really want to do this. But it wasn't leading me into what God had for me. So holiness is the place where we walk in nothing but his best. I know, because you've seen some of the holiness people. You see them in Walmart once in a while. And you think, I don't think I want to be in a holiness church. You are in a holiness church. I'm declaring it to you today. You're in a holiness church. I believe in holiness. I'm a holiness preacher. But the kind of holiness I'm talking to you about is the holiness that is the place where we seek God's best. We seek God's best and reject the rest. We seek God's best and we reject the rest. Holiness is you living your best life. Again, the way that, maybe you don't have this problem. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that has this problem, but I remember growing up and seeing holiness people. I remember becoming a Jesus freak and growing my hair long and having holy people mad at me because I had long hair. You need to cut that hair. If you're really a Christian, you're not a Christian. Look at you. You got long hair. And their idea of holiness was something that wasn't what God was doing in me. Is there anyone here who wouldn't like to operate in a greater level of the Holy Spirit? I think all of us would. We see the Holy Spirit doing some things in the day that we live in. Do you suppose it might be possible that it's harder to operate in the Holy Spirit when you're not holy? I would think that it would be a whole lot easier, at least, to operate in the Holy Spirit if I was holy. And again, that's not me walking perfectly to do everything that God said. I am your servant, Lord. It's way more fun than that. It's a joy. It's a pleasure to be his holy people. He wants to build us up. He wants to make us better. When we come to this place, maybe we don't know it. Maybe we don't realize it. But as we gather together, by the way, church wasn't my idea again. God doesn't want you to come here because you have to live a holy life. He wants you to come here because he's going to put some stuff in you. He's going to sneak some stuff in sometimes. He's going to talk to you even when the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, yeah. I have found out over the years that if I will listen for God's voice in every message that I happen to sit down under, maybe that person isn't the best orator ever, but somehow God can still speak to me. And when I miss those things that God's doing, I'm missing something that God had for me. And when I miss gathering together with the believers, I miss something that God had for me. Especially if I miss it for something that I think I want to do that is not really all that important. There is something to us setting apart some time on Sunday and coming and being together. There is something powerful to that. There's something powerful to us breaking bread together, inviting each other over to each other's homes, spending time with each other. That is what God wants to do, and he wants to do it for you. For you. Do you think God really needs Bethel Church in Defiance to have a 30-minute or 35 or 40-minute worship service so that he can, you know, feel really good? Have you ever read the Bible about what surrounds him and the kind of choirs and angels and everything? Do you think that they might be just a little bit better than Pastor Tim and his little guitar? I think they might. He's not looking for our talent. He's looking to touch us in relationship. Now, what's the opposite of building up? Tearing down. And not everything, you're not always tearing down if you're not building up. You know, there can be a neutral spot in there where nothing's happening. But think about it this way. If I can be being built up, edified, and I skip that so that I can just chill or maybe do something that I shouldn't be doing. One is tearing down, one is getting nothing of real value, and one is getting something that's going to change my life, even if I don't always realize it at the time. So ask yourself, when these conflicts come up, you run into a conflict and you got, oh, what should I do? Which one's going to bring me closer to God? Oh, I wanted to eat that piece of chocolate. Maybe that chocolate can bring you closer to God. Did you ask? Would you choose edifying every time over other choices, even though they might be mediocre to negative? I don't think I've always done it. I don't think I've always passed that test. But all things are lawful for me. It's just not all things are helpful for me. So in other words, some things are just a waste of my time and energy. And I only have a certain amount of time. God lives in the timeless zone, but me, I'm right here. I'm in the time zone. and I'm going to run out of time someday. I think at about 180. And some of you are familiar with that. Been saying that for years. Here's the question, though. What would our lives look like if we actually skipped all the stuff that is useless for our edification and just focused on the stuff that would build us up in the faith? I can tell you what your life would look like if you did that. Your life would look like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I've wanted to be more like Jesus my whole life. And I still want to be more like Jesus. I don't know what that even looks like at 65 because Jesus didn't make it to 65. But nevertheless, I want to be more like Jesus. And if we look more like Jesus, we would look more like real holiness. You know, at the time that Jesus walked the earth, there were a whole lot of guys walking around who were holy. And they had certain things on their robes and certain things on their heads and certain things here and certain things there. And Jesus didn't do any of that. And they couldn't understand it because that guy's not holy. How many of you think Jesus was the most holy guy on the planet? He was. He was the most holy person on the planet. And he laughed. And he had fun. And he and his disciples saw amazing things. And people saw him do amazing things. And he was so wanted by everybody except, well, maybe the holiness people. The people who thought they were holiness. See, he brought a new picture of what holiness looks like. He had that real holiness, not that don't touch, don't taste holiness. It was not a limitation, imitation holiness. It was the real deal. That's who Jesus was. That's who I want to be. I don't want to walk around fussing about whether I get to wear this or that. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And he may tell me to. I've told this, but this is just so perfect right here. It just came to my mind. The guy was in Indiana who was a pastor who had a whole bunch of ties. And he had a wonderful collection of ties. And he went to put a tie on one day when he was getting ready to go to church. And the Lord said, I don't want you to wear no ties no more. Because he was so proud of his ties. He was so amazed. He just loved his huge collection of ties. And the Lord said, no more ties for you. And so he listened. But he went to church that day with no tie on, and some of the young leaders in his church and in his denomination saw what he did, and they all decided nobody should wear ties, and pretty soon the whole denomination was preaching against ties. No ties for you. See, that's imitation. That's not real. I want the kind of holiness that says God's got something better for me, so I'll settle for nothing less. I want the kind of holiness where I set myself apart from anything that's going to hinder me and lead me to in any even minor destruction or wastefulness. I want to be that kind of guy. So here's my final question, because today's message title is, what if we could have more holy days? No, what if we could have more holidays? How many of you like holidays? Holidays where you get paid. Holidays where they, you know, I like a holiday. Well, what if we could have more real holidays? What if we could have more days where we're being built up and building others up? What if we could have more days where instead of being brought under the power of something, everything in our lives was being brought under the power of God. Wow. Wow. That'd be pretty cool. I know we are about to have some holidays, and some of us are looking forward to those holidays. They're coming up. But I encourage you, maybe the rest of the day you have a holiday. And then tomorrow you wake up and you go, it's a holiday! Google it. I'm sure it's some kind of holiday. And the next day you wake up, it's a holiday. Just every day I wake up and I turn it into a day where I just rejoice and am exceedingly glad because God is in my life and he's doing something to edify me. And if I will just find out what it is, holy me, it'll be great. I want to pray for you. Let's all stand up. Put your hands on your heart. I want you there. I want your hands on your heart because here's the thing. I could say put your hands on your mind, but holiness is really going to break out in your heart. That's where it needs to break out, where I recognize in my heart how much he wants to bless me, how much he wants to give to me. And I receive it and I choose, even though my head doesn't always understand, I choose in my heart. So Father, in our hearts, you want us to be set apart, not so we can't take part in things all the time, but you want us to be set apart so that we can take part in the things you have for us. And I pray, God, that this holiness message will change the way we think about holiness until we reach a place where we become truly holy people, walking about, bringing the joy of your holy days, your holidays, to everybody around us, that we have celebrations wherever we go, that we find reasons to celebrate the good things that you are doing whenever they take place. And yes, Lord, there will be some special days, and those are okay, but God, so many of our days could become so much more special. And so I pray for special days for all of your people. Holy days, holidays, days that they realize what you've just done and that it's something amazing. And this we pray for everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.